What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Happy Thursday, everybody. Derek Mason, Willie Donick, how are we doing today?
Doing
yes.
Wonderful.
What's going on, yeah?
We know, hey, so is there any latest on, you know, Mahoney and... You know,
and the Tigers
yeah,
of the USN?
Tigers, yeah.
That's right.
Our Tigers.
That's right. They won.
Yeah!
Good win against a very good Clarksville Academy
okay.
team.
Okay. So all right.
Picked up the 3 seed uh-huh. in the region. So moving on to the state tournament this weekend.
Oh, this weekend. Yep. Full weekend, huh?
Well, we'll see. It's win or go home now. The
winner
next game, must win. Next game
okay.
is a must win.
Okay.
Well, congratulations
yeah.
to Mahoney
and
USN.
It was a good win last night. Extra innings, 9-inning game
Ooh.
In Clarksville. So got back pretty late.
Well, good thing the weather was good.
It was a beautiful
was nice,
night.
Yeah,
beautiful
nice,
night.
Yeah.
Exciting game. Back and forth. Down 2-0 in the last inning.
Uh-huh.
Went ahead 3-2.
Sound like
Clarksville
the
ties it with 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th. USN wins in the 9th.
Did y'all did they watch the Vanden Louisville game?
It was a little bit like that. A little bit like that. It really was.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations to USN. Congratulations to you. I know you're a proud dad, Willie.
Oh yes, big Nick, time. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Nick Kieser is here as well. Reporter Nick, how we doing?
Doing well. I thought I heard some rain coming down. Am I correct?
It is.
Yeah, there was.
You would be correct.
Because I'm locked in a box for a while doing both of these shows, so I thought I heard some rain.
That is what I like to call living the dream, Nick.
Does the
yes.
suit let you come out of the cave at all,
nope.
Nick, at any point?
No, not really. I'm stuck in here, but I do get my own food, which is nice.
Does Chase just throw you scraps?
Yeah. I guess. Just slide the food under the door?
I guess. And hey, remember last week I was like, I have to have my coffee. We have our own coffee maker back here and everything. I want to revamp it personally, but yes,
living
I'm happy.
Living lavish with your own coffee maker
Living
back
lavish,
there.
Right.
It's your
right.
very own darkness retreat. Your
yes.
very own Aaron Rodgers.
That's what it is.
Well, happy schedule release day, everybody.
Oh, that's a
and
big day.
And to everybody who observes, it is a very big day.
Is it? Really?
Yep. Yep,
or
it's
no,
a holiday.
Is it a manufactured day?
Well, most things in the NFL are manufactured
exactly.
big days. Like
exactly.
the combine. I do have to give the NFL a whole lot of credit for making mm-hmm. a big deal out of things that really just have never been big deals. Mm-hmm. Like the combine back in the day, I don't know if anybody even really knew when it was happening. Now the combine is must-see TV. Now mm-hmm. it's coverage around the clock at the combine. It's the same kind of thing with schedule release day now, and it's been like the number one priority of some of the team's social teams to make super creative schedule releases, all of these very in-depth graphics and videos. From what I have seen, I haven't seen any leaks from the Titans schedule so far. We mm-hmm. just know that October 15th is that game in London against Baltimore. But there are some good games in here. A questionable game against Detroit in mm-hmm. Kansas City and Detroit to open the season. Kind of an odd matchup.
Kansas City, Detroit, yeah.
Reigning Super Bowl champions against Jared Goff.
It's usually the teams that play in AFC Championship or the NFC Championship, they play the first game again, or the Super Bowl winner versus the Super Bowl loser, in a sense.
It's at least
it seems like
time.
It's been somebody
it's
like
been
that,
like
yeah.
that, yeah.
Like
for,
Tom
for
Brady and the Bucks and the
exactly.
Cowboys, like that is must-see TV. But there is Buffalo mm-hmm. Jets,
yeah,
Which I guess if you went back like 10 years, you would think that that's just a total crap game. But yeah. Now, you know, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, pretty good game to start the season. Mm-hmm. I believe that's Monday Night Football. So far, no leaks from the Titans, but we will stay updated on Twitter. It's significantly more difficult to find some of these schedule leaks now that there are no blue check marks. But we'll keep everybody updated as soon as those leaks come out if we hear any good tea about the Tennessee Titans around the AFC South. And I know that this day has been made much more than it has been in the past. I know that there's a whole lot of pomp and circumstance and a full extravaganza for the NFL schedule release, but I do think it's important for this reason, because to know the schedule, and I heard Robbie Stanley's rant a couple days ago. He said, you know who you're going to play anyway. It's just a matter of, you know, you're going to play Miami. Now it's just, you know, you're going to play Miami in November 2nd. Mm-hmm. You know, congratulations. But I do think that the schedule release gives a good context as to what you can expect, because the way that the schedule falls can impact the outcome of the season. If you're playing Buffalo, for example, well, I'd much rather play on the road at Buffalo in September than I would in December, an outdoor cold weather team. Let's say you're playing Buffalo, Cincinnati, and Kansas City. Well, I'd rather have those games be a little bit more spread out than back to back to back. So I think that those kinds of implications and those little nuances of the schedule, those things matter. Even though you know your opponents, when you play them and how the schedule falls, to me, is important.
Well, yeah, it is, because like you said, you don't want to, if you're a Southern team or a West, out West team, you know, whether it be Vegas Raiders or Chargers, Rams, you don't want to have to play, you know, the Jets or the Giants or Buffalo in November or early December. You know, if I got to play them, I'd rather play them September, October. So those little, you know, little nuances does mean a lot. But the way the NFL, has done it as of lately, and when I mean lately, I mean it's been some years. Whereas the second half of the season, isn't it really, let me make sure I'm pulling this up. Yeah, typically they're really playing divisional games. They try to get the rest of their divisional games in, like that last six or seven games of the season. So it really, I mean, yeah, you may have to play a Buffalo at the end of the season or something like that, but typically you're playing your division foe, you know, toward the end of the season. That's how the Titans have ended their season the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. Is
Jacksonville,
you know, Jacksonville, Houston, you know, Indianapolis. They play all those teams sort of kind of within a 2 week or 3 week period, you know, starting, you know, in November, mid November or late November into December. So they're playing divisional games. So, you know, weather really doesn't matter because, you know, they're both so used to it.
I know you can't. The schedule makers, believe me, when I go to the NHL broadcasters meetings, there's always complaints about the schedule. And the poor guy gets up there in front of everybody and gets grilled by everybody. What about this? We had to go to Edmonton and then Florida. What's going on? You know, there's always something that doesn't work out. But philosophically, I feel like you should not play your same division opponent twice in a short period of time. That happens way too often for me.
This past season, the Titans played the Colts like 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, and that's happened with the Texans too before, where you played like two out of three games.
Played Jacksonville, had 3 weeks, well, 4 weeks apart. It was like three games in the middle and then Jacksonville.
It would seem like, especially in the NFL, where you have only 16 games to worry about, and you're not worried about, you know, sending a team across the country like you do sometimes in baseball or NBA or NHL, where you're constantly shuffling and moving and there's arena availability and all that stuff. That's not the problem in football. That you should face your division teams once somewhere early to midway through the first half of the season and somewhere late in the second half of the season. That's how it should be, right? So you don't catch a team, like, let's say, you know, if you caught the Titans late in the season last year twice when they didn't have Ryan Tannehill, that's pretty big. Right? And that could, in theory, happen two different times, once early in the season and once late, but that's just part of it. But it just doesn't seem like when you catch a time, when you catch a team along the ride is important. So to me, I think that would be something I would prioritize in the schedule.
Like, they played Indianapolis, what, two, four? They played them twice in 7 weeks. like in a 7 week span they played them. So you shouldn't have to do that.
Appropriately spaced. No, but 7 weeks?
Because it's early in the season. What I'm saying is October 2nd, they play Indianapolis. Then they play Washington. They had a bye week. And then they come back around and play Indianapolis again. Mm. To me, you know, because again, it points to when do you play these teams? I would rather play, okay, let me play them in the first half of the year, of the season and then the bottom half of the season. Where, because you're getting two different teams then. You're not getting the same team. Meaning you're getting the same team, but not – like the Titans were two different teams. They were a, what, 7-1 team at one point, the first half of the season, a 7-2, and then they end up being 0-7, you know, at toward the end, the last seven games of the season.
With Washington this past season, when the Titans played them, they were, you know, the crummy, crappy Commanders. And then at the end of the season, they kind of caught
they
fire.
Got better,
so I was
yeah.
thinking, I'm glad that the Titans got them out of the way
and that's
when
just,
they did.
And that's just random. That's going to happen.
You can't control that.
But your division games.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
You want the division teams to play each other late in the season. That makes perfect sense. The second one. But the first one should be sometime in the first part of the season. There's
exactly.
only six division games. There's all four teams' divisions. I feel like you could do that pretty easily if you start down that road and that's a priority. I feel like that's how it should be.
And I think another aspect to the schedule that I think is important specifically for this Tennessee Titans team, considering how in limbo this team could potentially be, looking at three players in particular, and Ryan Tannehill and Kevin Byard and Derrick Henry. I think the schedule matters because it depends on where the trade deadline falls. This past season, the trade deadline was November 1st, so about halfway through the season, give or take a couple of weeks. I think it depends on who the Titans play before the trade deadline to get a good grasp on exactly what this team is, how competitive they can be, and how much those individual players are contributing. Because if the Tennessee Titans go into the trade deadline, let's say the trade deadline is after week 8. The Titans are 2-6. They might be prompted more to make some moves at the trade deadline than if they are 6-2 at that time. If they have Indianapolis, a game against Indianapolis, Jacksonville, and Houston behind them once they get to the trade deadline and they go 3-0 in that stretch, then at that point you feel pretty good about the division. And you feel like you might want to double down and continue to go for it. And you hold on with Tannehill, Henry, and Byard, and you try to go for it for this season. So that's what I think is another aspect to all of this is the timing, the trade deadline, and what this team decides to do if they decide to go for it or if they decide to pivot midway through the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's – and I guess this is why, you know, they sort of make a spectacle or big thing about the whole, you know, scheduling with each NFL team because – you know, first thing we do is what? Look at the schedule. As soon as we come out, look at the schedule. Oh, we play them. I'm glad we play them early and not late. Because then, and so we start thinking about all these scenarios. Oh, we're going to win this game. We're going to lose this game. Well, we may win this game. It just depends on if we're healthy or not toward the end of the season. We play Cincinnati. Man, it's going to be tough, man. If we don't have to. So you start thinking about all these scenarios in your head. And that's what they want. That's what the NFL wants. They want to make a grandiose deal about the schedule, put it out, and for everybody to look at it and start marking wins and losses and what could happen, what should happen, what may happen, all this other stuff. So it's a great tactic by the NFL.
Absolutely it is. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, how does the trade deadline and the NFL schedule release kind of dictate what the Titans could potentially do this upcoming season, and when could things change? We'll get into that coming up next, and of course, your thoughts on this as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
What are the Titans' plans for this crowded quarterback room right now in Nashville?
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill is the starter week one. That's what I was told, that this is his team. He is the guy. The drafting Will Levis is obviously this team looking to the future, knowing that Ryan Tannehill will be playing on an expired contract, and this is his last year in Tennessee, and no movement there if they're going to extend him just yet, if they even decide to do that. But for now, it's Ryan Tannehill's team.
Thank you, Diana Russini, for letting us know that Ryan Tannehill is the starter week one.
I forgot.
It is a nice refresher.
Yeah.
That is the case, and it's probably what we all expected. Probably what we all assumed, that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starter week one. Thank you, Diana. But I think that that is what we all do. But I think that there's at least a possibility open that if Ryan Tannehill is the starter week one, that that could change at some point within the season. And I don't think that Mike Vrabel or Tim Kelly or Rand Carthon can tell you definitively, yeah, he's going to be the starter week one, but, you know, by week six, we're going to let Will Levis start a little bit. We're going to ease Ryan Tannehill out. No, I think that it's going to go with how is the season going? How is Ryan Tannehill playing? What does the offense look like? How is Will Levis coming along? I am not closed-minded at all to the possibility that some of these things can change. Maybe Ryan Tannehill is the starter all season long. They want Will Levis to have a redshirt year. They want Will Levis to sit on the bench and to learn and take over full-time 2024. But at this point, I think all possibilities are on the table. But if Ryan Tannehill at some point is no longer the starter, what would be the deciding factor of that? When do things start to change?
Well, based upon history with Mike Vrabel and quarterbacks, it wasn't until week five that they made the change. They were 2-3. They were playing Buffalo, and the game wasn't going away that they wanted it to go. So they made the change. They go with Ryan Tannehill. He ended up being a starter. Denver on. I think they ended up changing during the Denver game, if I'm not mistaken. It was one of the two games. But then after that, Ryan Tannehill just became the starter. At that point, they were 2-3. They had just lost to Buffalo. 2-4. They had just lost to Denver. That's when they said, listen, we got to make a change. We got to do something to try to save this season. If history is going to repeat itself, it's going to happen the exact same way. That after, unless Ryan Tannehill's playing horrible, then you just got to pull a cord and go with the young guy. But if this team is 2-3, 2-4, Ryan Tannehill is, he's not himself. I think then they have to make the decision. They have to, if they want to save their season. They have to make the decision to either go with the young guy and say, forget it, we're moving on, let's do it, or they stay with Tannehill and let him ride it out the whole season. I think at that point, if they're 2-4, I think they're going with the young guy. I think they're going with the young guy if it's close. If it's close coming out of camp, I think they're going with the young guy. Why wouldn't you? If it's that close, if the competition is that close, where, say, if Willie's a senior, a fifth-year senior, and I come in as a freshman, and we both come into camp, and I'm this highly touted freshman, and it's close. It's close. Who do you think they're going with?
It happened to me in real life.
They're going with the freshman.
It happened to me at Vanderbilt. I was a junior. I was a
backup. I'm sorry, Fred. I'm sorry. Well, I didn't mean to bring up bad memories.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm over it.
Okay.
But no, it was really probably the right thing to do. Honestly, in retrospect, I mean, the statistics will show, right? But I was a junior.
Statistics be damned, Willie. Yeah. You deserved a shot.
But for basketball, I was the older junior. I felt like I had a great preseason, and I thought I had earned the starting job. Mm-hmm. But there was a recruit, Ronnie McMahon, who's a good friend of mine, still in town, is over at Montgomery Bell, coaching with another really good friend of mine and teammate, Kevin Anglin. The two put out a great program over at for the Big Red. But Ronnie was a freshman, pretty highly touted. The coaches loved his upside. Ended up being one of the top 10 scorers in school history, right?
There we go.
But at the end of that preseason, I thought I had a slight edge because he was a freshman. He was learning how the plays, and he was making more mistakes, which he was going to grow out of and did grow out of. But I was bummed that I didn't get the call for opening night starter. But in the big picture, the coaches were looking like who's going to be the better player long term, and they were 100% right. But that didn't make me feel real good at the time. But this is what I'm sure coaches in a lot of sports, in a lot of situations, have to weigh, right? What's the right thing? When's the right time? You know, I was upset that they went with it opening night and that I didn't get a chance
to at least show.
Yeah, to start, and then if he outplays me over time, then you make the change then. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that there's different people doing it different ways. What's interesting about this, here we are in May. This is going to be a constant thing, and this inevitably happens when you draft a quarterback, but it's going to just play itself out. You hope that it naturally plays itself out, right, one way or the other. Either Ryan Tannehill plays great and holds that job, and you're like, man, we got to keep going with the veteran here, man. This is going well. We want to win. Or the easy one would be Tannehill gets hurt or something. You have nothing else to do. Or like you said, they're 1-5. They're not going anywhere. You got nothing to lose. Let's just see what the kid can do. The tough one is the in-between, and that happens sometimes, you know, where you're not quite sure, and you end up going back and forth. That's the real – that's when you truly have the quarterback controversy, because everybody's in the locker room. You might be divided on who you think they should play. You know, that's where it gets kind of sticky. And any of this could happen. So it really doesn't matter what we say right now, today. It's going to start playing itself out. Yeah. He's going to start practicing every day. Tannehill's got to stay healthy. He's got to show – that he's bounced back from the injury. There's so many variables that we just have to wait and let them play out.
And there are several different variables, you're right, because, D-Maze, you make a fair point. If you're 2-4 and things are looking rough, you might feel like you have to make a change. But I don't think that every 2-4 is created equally.
Mm-mm. No.
If they look at it and say, man, oh man, like, let's say, knock on wood, Jeffrey Simmons gets hurt week one. Knock on all the wood. And the defense looks absolutely atrocious. They're giving up 35 points a game. Well, this offense isn't equipped to compete with a team that puts up 35 points a game. That's not Tannehill's fault. Tannehill can't control that. So they might look at it and say, let's just ride out Tannehill and try and win as many games as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. Or they might look at it and say, you know, we feel like we could make a change. We're going into week 7. We're 2-4. Do we need to make a change? Should we put out the young guy? And if we go with the young guy, can we go back? So we go with the young guy, do we trade Tannehill? Well, then that would depend on the trade market. Because we've heard that the Titans were picking up the phone, at least about Tannehill, to see if there was a trade market potentially for Tannehill. And Charles Robinson was on with Robin Rexford this morning and said there are a lot of teams that are willing to kind of roll the dice with some young guys. Look at, you know, Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. They've got Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask. That doesn't really seem like the most stable quarterback room out there. Look at Washington rocking it with Sam Howell. That doesn't seem like the most, you know, safe quarterback decision. Green Bay is going with Jordan Love. Jordan Love is still a question mark about what he can do in this league. So by week 6, do some of these teams that are going into the season kind of with an experiment at quarterback or question mark at quarterback, are they looking at it like, man, we have a really, really good team. We just need a solid quarterback that can help us compete, kind of like how the Jets were, the situation that they were in this past season. So do they look at it and say, man, Titans are kind of hot and cold about Tannehill. Do we look and see what a trade package could potentially be for Tannehill? Because we feel like a veteran quarterback that can just get the job done and can do more for us, can help us get to the point that we think this team can get to. That's another thing. What's the trade deadline, or what's the trade market look like?
And you're right. Under different circumstances, you would be right. What you just said, it would be absolutely right. But under the circumstance that we will see moving forward, talking next May, the draft, teams that are not doing well, watch the Commanders. Who else?
Tampa Bay, Arizona.
They're not getting Ryan Tannehill. They don't want him.
They may want Caleb Williams.
Yeah, exactly. They're not. So here's the thing we got to understand too. It has to be a situation where the starting quarterback gets hurt, like say the Jets. Mm-hmm. If something happens to Aaron Rodgers, I can see the Jets then saying, "Okay, we're in this. We got to do this. We got to find some way to sort of fix this situation." We look to the south, and the Titans are not doing well. They put Will Levis in. Let's go after Ryan Tannehill. Let's do it. Any other if a team's not in that situation, they want Drake, they want May. They want these quarterbacks that are coming out this next year. They don't want Tannehill, who will be retiring in say 3 or 4 years. They want a young stud. So they're not making a trade with the Titans. Why would I make a trade with the Titans? Because I want one of these top three or four quarterbacks that's coming out next year.
It's got to be a team that's playing
exactly.
For this
it has
year.
To be the Jets. Somebody like the Jets or who else?
Yeah, we could go down the list and probably find some teams. It's probably a fairly small list. It's probably not a list of 15 teams, but there are occasionally teams, and the Jets is a great example. Mm-hmm. Like they're going for it. Like that's why they went for Rodgers. It'd be interesting. I mean, how ironic with all this stuff. Well, if they don't get Rodgers, maybe they'll call the Titans for Tannehill.
Then they might have to do both.
Exactly. To get Rodgers and get Tannehill.
How unfortunate
that would be
of a situation would that be? Oh.
But there are teams, you know, if a team is 4-0 and they love their team, but they lose their quarterback for the rest of the season and their backup isn't very good, that's the scenario where you're calling around. You're saying who's out there. So, a lot would have to happen for that to really come up, but I've seen stranger things happen.
And the Titans would also have to be in a position where they would be willing to move on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. If the Titans are 4-0, then you're not picking up the phone, right?
You're not taking my quarterback. Yeah. No way. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's get into our thoughts on this. I see your phone calls and texts landing up right to those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
You know, I think one thing that Ryan Tannehill can look afield and say, well, why do I have to have a huge 2023? Because chances are a number of these guys aren't going to work out. And there definitely could be an opportunity in other places, you know, unless they're looking at a total reboot, which some of these franchises might be if some of these young quarterbacks don't work out. So he's not in a great spot. I think part of what went on before the draft with the Titans kind of poking around to see if there was a potential landing spot for him, if they were to move on from him. I don't know how successful that really was for them. I didn't get any indication from a few of the teams that I talked to that there was interest in picking him up, even if the Titans had landed, you know, a quarterback at that third spot and then we're ready to move on from Brian Tannehill. I don't know that a number of teams really would have been lining up for him, let alone, you know, what the salary is right now. That's another thing, too. He would have had to have significantly changed, I think, what his salary would have been if he would have played elsewhere.
That was Charles Robinson on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. If the Titans were poking around, if the Titans were picking up the phone about Ryan Tannehill, which has been reported that they at least were picking up the phone about, then there were no eager or willing trade partners. But that could change at some point. If there is a team out there whose starting quarterback gets injured or a team out there that was going with it with a young gun, they realize, hey, we have a really good team. We just need a solid starting quarterback. The trade market for Ryan Tannehill could change. It could heat up. We have some thoughts on the text line.
Let's bring them on.
Let's get to your phones. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is
our phone number.
Let's
hear from the people.
If you have a thought, let's get the people's thoughts. Justin in Greenbrier texts in, says, I know it's May, and we have very little but speculation to talk about, but the flip side could be that the Titans come out firing on all cylinders and starts bawling out. We do play a second-place schedule, so if we stay healthy and have things break our way, there is no reason this team behind Tannehill and Henry can't play lights out. I would agree.
I'd like to see what the roster looks like as we get closer to the season. But as it's constructed, I don't disagree with that at all. We've seen a lot of surprise teams. Every year there's a couple that look like, for you know, on what you are not going to hear anybody. You didn't hear them last year. Remember, we were marveling. I don't know if the word is marveling, but I was fairly surprised that the Titans were not being predicted to win the division. Like, almost nobody. Yeah. It was almost all Colts, of all teams, the Colts. Yeah. Like, if you were getting on the Jacksonville bandwagon early, I could see that, but that really wasn't happening. Most people were taking the Colts.
The Matt Ryan effect.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. There's a lot of Matt Ryan hype. They bought into that, and people were kind of down on the Titans, even though the Titans had controlled the division for years before that. This year, if that happened last year, where do you think they're going to get picked this year? Everybody's going to pick Jacksonville, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be almost unanimous.
And rightfully so. Or everybody could, there could be a group of people that pick Indianapolis. Why? Because Indianapolis has a third place schedule. So if we're assuming that, you know, the schedule gets lighter, you know, because you didn't win your division, well, Houston and Indianapolis is going to have the lightest schedule of all four, the other two top teams. So we can't just look and look at the Titans and say, well, they have a second place schedule, so it should be a little bit easier. Didn't everybody just see what happened in AFC, all these quarterbacks? Tell me, how in the hell is it going to be easy when you have the second place schedule? Even in the NFC, how is it going to be easy? Now, if you're saying the easy part is we may have them at home, I get that. I understand that part.
But would you rather play Miami or Buffalo?
It all depends on what time of the year.
Just in theory, Josh Allen or Tua?
A healthy Tua with those weapons? I don't want to play that team.
Josh Allen or Tua? I'll take Tua.
No. Because I don't look at Josh Allen as an elite quarterback. I don't.
That is
Josh
true.
Allen is, he's a guy that is prone to make a lot of mistakes. At times that you think like, dude, you've been in the NFL too long to be making these same damn mistakes. And he does. This team defense doesn't show up a lot of times. These are the things. We're just looking at the quarterback. I'm looking at the whole team. Miami's defense is pretty good. They got a plethora of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Tua, if he's upright, the kid is good. So, honestly, it's like take your pick. If it's, I don't want to play Buffalo in November. Hell no. In December, no. But then I don't want to play Miami in September either because it's like 120 degrees. So, I mean, I don't know. It just depends on when I'm
playing.
This is the fun of this day,
right? This is what we do on this day every year. We debate because – the beauty of it is what we ought to do, we ought to record, like hold on to this recording, some of the things we're saying, and then on the week of that game, how crazy we sound for some of the stuff. Because things that happen in the next few months that you don't have a crystal ball, you don't know. But like, there's so many variables. Like you said, Derek, when is the game? Is the game in Buffalo in December? Of course, it didn't work out very well for the Titans in September in Buffalo last year. The weather wasn't the issue.
The weather was not the problem. But,
you know, if you play the Dolphins with Tua and he's on a roll, as he was for part of the season last year, that's one thing. If you're playing them with Teddy Bridgewater or the guy they brought in and played the playoff game who played admirably, what was his name? He didn't do half bad, but it's a little different than Tua, right?
What was his name?
The no-name guy, remember, it was a great story. I mean, he battled. Remember how close the Dolphins game was with Buffalo at Buffalo? I can't even remember the guy's name.
No, Tua did play that game. Tua ended up playing that game.
In the playoff game?
No, I'm talking about in the regular season. In the playoff game, no. I know who you're talking about. It was a close
game. The
third
string guy.
Yeah.
Why?
Because this elite quarterback, I'm putting it in quotation marks, elite quarterback Josh Allen was making mistakes all over the field.
He had a bad
game. He is mistake prone.
That helped.
And there are so many different factors, injuries, weather, where the game is being played, who gets on a hot streak, who doesn't. But I'm just saying, in theory, if you're giving me two options, the Dolphins and the Bills, no disrespect to the Dolphins and Tua, but I would rather play Tua and the Dolphins than I would Josh Allen and the Bills.
Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson.
Skylar Thompson,
yeah.
Yes.
Didn't light the world on fire. He had a 44.7 quarterback rating, but you were thinking, this is going to be ugly, man. They're going to lose by 30.
It was the year of the third-string quarterback.
Josh Allen, how many interceptions did he throw in that game?
Josh Allen threw two interceptions. He was sacked seven times.
Oh, man.
Three touchdown passes, 352 yards. But there were some crazy things. Wasn't there like a punt return or something? There were some wacky plays.
That game was weird.
That was a weird game.
It is truly any given Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
And it was also 17-0. Buffalo and point. Yeah. Thinking, oh, this is a laugher. And the next thing you know, the Dolphins were right there, up 24-20.
Because of mistakes.
In the fourth.
Because of mistakes.
In the third quarter, yeah.
Because of mistakes. Josh, I'm just saying. People are.
You've been saying it.
I give you credit.
The biggest Josh Allen fan.
I think he's a good quarterback. I think Josh Allen is a really good quarterback. But when you talk about elite quarterback, he's not an elite quarterback. He's just not.
Another texture text into the text line and says, keep in mind, too, there are a lot of teams that we think are good that we think that will end up being bad. A lot of teams that are bad that will end up being
100%.
Bad. That is the NFL.
Yeah. That's what's, again, what's crazy about this day. Like, we all think we know. We also think there's probably likely to be some key additions to some rosters somewhere that aren't the case right now.
Of course.
That will change people's minds.
There will be some, you know. June acquisitions or trades. There will be some trades that happen or some guys that get released because of salary reasons. And we see that every year where we look on the waiver wire after the, you know, once the 53-man roster is set and we see a couple of names like, man, why did they? And then you realize, well, he's a little bit older and he's making a lot of money and they'd rather go with the young guy and allow the young guy to start the process. That's why I said with in the last segment with Will Levis and Ryan Tannehill, if it's close, don't be surprised if they go with the younger guy just to get it started right now. Why not? So,
and yeah, I think that those are all questions and those are all things that will transpire, that will give us a whole a much more clear vision and view of what this team is going to be, what the NFL looks like. Because just like the texter said, a lot of things are going to change. There are going to be a lot of teams that we think are just going to be awful that will end up being good. And I'm not counting out the fact that, or the possibility that Ryan Tannehill could be part of that. Washington has a really solid team around the quarterback. They've got Terry McLaurin, Montez Sweat. They just signed Daron Payne. Maybe before the trade deadline, Washington looks absolutely lights out, and they look like they're a team that could potentially be a contender. And they're thinking, what were we thinking going with Sam Howell? We need a guy that can hold on to the football and a guy that can help us win. Maybe that's Ryan Tannehill. That's all I'm saying. Anything is on the table. At this point in May, all the possibilities are on the table. But coming up next, perception can be everything, especially in a point in the season now when we have so many questions that aren't going to be answered for a while. I'm a little bit confused about where one perception came from. And are we really buying into it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
When he talked to, and I, look, I don't want to kill him just on based on a couple of clips that obviously a lot of people have seen. The whole, you know, do you want to attend the draft? And him saying, like, you know, if I'm paraphrasing here, but the whole idea, like, if I know I'm going to get picked, yeah, I don't. But you don't want to be one of those guys that, you know, slides and then has a camera on you the whole day. And I think not being there the second day, deciding, hey, I'm not going to be around, I'm not going to stick around for this the second day, I'm out. Some teams are going to point to that and go, look, that's the entitlement we talked about. That's the, there's this element of, is he cocky or is he arrogant? You know, is he being realistic about the experience or does he feel entitled to something that, you know, he has yet to fully earn on the NFL level?
That was Charles Robinson on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And there really has been this sentiment throughout the pre-draft process and it's continued post-draft. This sentiment of Will Levis's supposed arrogance and entitlement. And I really have wondered where that came from. There was a whole lot of conversation as he was going through pre-draft meetings that they didn't go very well. I believe it was TD. I don't want to put words in TD's mouth, but I do believe it was TD who was on with Chase when Chase was in for Jared for the TD Power Hour, saying that in one of the meetings when Will Levis walked out, he took a bag of chips from the meeting room. And that was not a very good impression on that team. And then the mirror selfies, which we've made fun of so many times, and that's put a bad taste in a lot of the mouths of NFL general managers. And he did say, I believe maybe to Ed Werder, that he didn't want to be one of those guys that went to the draft, that sat there all night long, the cameras were on him, which ultimately was what ended up happening. Apparently that didn't land very well with NFL general managers and around NFL circles. I want to know, are those things blown out of proportion? Or are those things really a sign that points to arrogance and entitlement? Or is this just a label that's been placed on Will Levis, and now everything that we hear or see about him, we try and nitpick it and say, yep, that's his arrogance coming through?
You know, I think we can probably go back through our lives and think about somebody, maybe somebody you went to high school with or somebody you come across at work and you've heard about this person. Oh, this guy, people don't like this guy. Mm-hmm. He's a jerk. He's arrogant, something like that. And then you meet him, and you're like, oh, the guy's actually a pretty nice guy. You know? There are – the opposite can be true, too. You hear these things, and then you meet him, you're like, boy, that's exactly how so-and-so described him to me. Mm-hmm. He's exactly like that. The
he
first
stinks.
Time I meet him. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know Will Levis at all. I only what I've read, there have been multiple reports because you just pick these guys' lives apart. So that's part of it, right? We'd all hate to have that. Like, I'd be scared what people would be saying about me if they picked apart every single thing I did every single day, which is kind of what these guys are like when they get, you know, evaluated, especially as a guy who is a quarterback who is viewed as a future leader of the team. You want to know everything about that guy. So only time will tell. The other thing that is a variable is, could Will Levis see these things and say, you know what? I got to grow out of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have this reputation. I'm going to make sure that if I walk by a thing of chips, I don't think, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world, but I have absolutely seen,
to get those chips,
let's say that's true. I don't know if that happened or
they
not.
They were Cool Ranch, Willie.
Exactly, man. Come on.
It's his favorite guy. Okay, but let's just put yourself in that position, right? You're the new guy. You're trying to make an impression. It's just like when you teach somebody how to act at a job interview, you would probably tell them, don't take the chips unless somebody offers you
or
the
just
chips.
Ask, can you have a bag? Right? Hey, do you
and
mind
I don't know if he did it or not. We don't even know if this is true. No. But that is something you would note, right? If you're sitting there and you're like, oh, you just took the chips. I know this. On the team plane for the Predators, and you know, we're not supposed to share things on the team plane, but it's general, right? I just know for me, when I was the new guy, I wasn't going up there for the plane food and just cutting in front of the players and saying, hey, Pekka, move aside. I need to get my chips, my burritos here, you know. You don't do that,
hey, give
right?
Give me a Twix bar, man. Give me that Twix bar.
You say, look, I'll hang back, and if somebody offers me, then you know what I mean? It's just,
no.
And that doesn't mean he's a guy. The guy could be a bad quarterback. The guy could be just, you know, not very polite, but he could be a heck of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. That could happen too, you know.
But I think this is sort of – it's, yes, sometimes we can sort of nitpick to a point where, because we can't find, this is what happens. This is what we do. When we can't find the glaring things wrong with someone, it's almost like, yeah, you're just waiting for the shoe to drop. You know, it's not like, yeah, you're waiting for the, we've heard that whole saying, I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. It's going great now, but I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Mm-hmm. I think it's sometimes like this with these quarterbacks or these highly touted individuals in sports, men and women, that you see so much of, you know, the prospect of what they can be, the ability that they have, and you're thinking to yourself, it can't be this good. So what I'm going to do is, instead of looking at all of his or hers great attributes, I am going to purposely look for flaws. This is how it operates. I'm a purposely, he didn't do it. Okay. She didn't do it. Okay. And then you start picking apart these little things that really in the big scheme of things may not mean anything at all. A kid could just be, you know, it's like when you're on a college campus in a college building, in a football building, they have stuff around. And your natural instinct is, you know, you've been doing this for years and years. You see a bag of chips, you're in a football building, you just grab my, just because it's like, this is what I, you know, I'm used to just doing this.
This is my house.
Yeah, I grab the chips and I go. I don't think anything of it. So when you put him in that same scenario, it may not be his building, but it's a football building. I'm familiar with everything, you know, because everything is football. And I see a bag of chips and I'm just like, my natural instinct is just grab a bag of chips, open them, and start eating them. I didn't think anything of it. Yeah, maybe I should have said, you know what? Hey, can I have a bag? Do you mind if I take a bag or not? Because whatever. And they would more than likely say, go ahead, take it. Don't matter. But the fact that you didn't ask is now become the big thing. Ooh, Will Levis didn't ask for those Cool Ranch Doritos. Oh, my, he's entitled. He feel he could just take any bag of Cool Ranch. That local convenience stores, watch him when he comes in, because he's known to just grab Cool Ranches and walk out the building. So we make a big deal, I think, sometimes about these little things. And then also we got to understand the arrogance part. And I think I spoke on this before, arrogance. There is a fine line between arrogance and confidence, a really fine line. And I think from what perspective you're looking at it from, you will either see it as being cocky and arrogant, or you'll see it as being confident. You know, you can't.
It is a fine line.
It's an important line.
Exactly. Like, we look at Aaron Rodgers. For so many years, there was nothing. Nobody saw anything wrong with Aaron Rodgers, his antics. Like, Because they always pointed to, he's confident. That's a confident quarterback. It's confident. But the longer and longer he stayed in the league, it became, and people came became annoyed with him. So it became, it went from confidence to arrogance then. But it's all, what's changed? Because he's the same person. He hasn't changed.
The perception.
Yeah, the perception has changed. Yeah. Now, because you don't sort of like him, now it's arrogance instead of confidence. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, all these guys, there's a level of confidence that you got to have when you play that high, play at that high of a level, that some may think is cockiness or some may think it's arrogance, but you are far from that person. But you have to have superior confidence to play at that level each and every day. The people you need to ask is your teammates. Ask his teammates. Ask the equipment guy. Ask the lunch guy.
Those are important.
Those are the people you need to ask. Just the TikTok videos, all that. No, I don't care. Yeah. Let me go talk to these people because these people see him every day. They see him when he's having a good day and when he's having a bad day. You tell me what type of person he is.
Let's get some of your thoughts on this. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug is on the line with a thought. What's up, Doug?
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Almost afternoon. I'm just concerned about the fool's gold on both sides. Let's say Tannehill balls out. We know they can't afford him. So he goes to the next team, and all of a sudden, the real Tannehill shows up. And also with Will Levis, you know, there's all this stuff out there. And I'm with you, D-Mace, but I'll throw in another one. There's a difference between arrogant, confidence, and cocky. D. McNair was confident. He wasn't cocky. So I'm just thinking that Will Levis needs to worry about, number one, beating out Malik Willis. First, let's not get too big. Earn your stripes. Do well in camp. Get some street cred. And just shut up. You know, it's obvious that he has a amount of arrogance about him. But I don't want to go down that Johnny Manziel road where he won the trophy and real arrogant and cocky. And, you know, we saw how he behaved, and that's the word I want to use, at the draft. That's where I'm thinking there's going to be some fool's gold around somewhere.
What behavior at the draft was a red flag for you?
Just the look. You don't just sit there and wait until the system decides to pick you. Then you didn't show up the next day. That look.
It's like
if I don't get it, I'm just pouting.
Thank you.
The other dude that was second day, he stayed and was proud to be picked.
Thank you for your call, Doug. Yeah, all fair points. Thank you for your call. Let's react to that coming up next. And we've got a lot of your thoughts as well. This sentiment of Will Levis's arrogance or Will Levis's entitlement. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But is it a problem within this organization? Is it something that we are concerned about moving forward? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.